Okay.
So the way we solved this was using the follow Ricardo's follow benchmark, which by bypassing the cache, right, doing some random accesses, it is able to calculate the maximum bandwidth of the memory, right? So, okay, so it turns out that this benchmark was able to get almost 900 megabytes per second in the host machine, in the normal machine, right? I found surprisingly low. I thought it was much higher, but that's the number. So we have 900 megabytes per second, and then when we run the same benchmark in the QMO virtual machine, it was around 200 megabytes per second, right? So the issue was that we were losing some time inside the VM, right? So what it means is that we were not taking out all the overhead time, right?
Right.
So we remove all those times. We get farther, and I guess the main breakthrough was that we found that the QMU, there is a QMU cache to translate from virtual memory address, sorry, the virtual address of the virtual memory, of the VM, right, to host virtual address, right?
Okay.
So it turns out that this cache was taking most of the time that we were losing. So we removed that time. And by removing that time, we get to a good number, was close to, was something like 500 megabytes per second, right? So we still had, or 200 megabytes per second, something like that, which was double. So it turns out that the rest of the time, and where we were able to get 800 megabytes per second in our virtual machine, actually it was 700, but that's for some other reason, was that the TSC instruction was taking a lot of time. So what we did was that every time we do a VTSC, we discount that time from the time we are reporting. Right.
Oh, so you just measure the time TSC takes and subtract that.
That's right. Yeah, subtract that as many times as we need. Right. And doing that, we were able to get close to 700 megabytes per second. That, for some other reasons, right? That we thought about solving, but probably was not worth it. It's our threshold. I mean, we cannot get further than that.
Mm-hmm. So difference between real machine and the QMU times are how much? 900 megabytes versus
730, more or less.
I see.
700.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, yeah. So now with those numbers, I recalculate the power numbers, right, that we had last time.
Okay.
Which were all, I remember that's where all the problems started, right?
Hmm.
And it turns out that now the numbers make sense.
Okay.
What I found is that the spreadsheet reports 100% of the time in reads.
Okay. What is the benchmark?
The benchmark is the follow, which only makes reads.
Okay.
So it says that, actually there is a small detail. It says that 111% of the time is spent in reads, but I think it's just a miscalculation on the bandwidth or something that I actually want to talk about.
Okay.
On bandwidth or something. So it says that, but you know, it's not a crazy bad numbers. It just makes sense because the percentage of right is almost zero and the percentage of risk is almost 100. So with that number and scaling to 1 gigabyte, we're able to draw 8 watts of power, right? That's what we're looking for.
Can you repeat what is the comparison against?
Against what?
Right. So at 1 gigabyte, you consume 8 watts of power.
Yes, that's what the. At some point, I saw in an article, and we weren't able to get that because before, we always had 0% of time spending in reading and 0% of the time spending writing. So the memory was just the base power consumption, right?
Okay.
And it turns out that the active power consumption is by far the most, the highest chunk of energy consumption.
Right. And what if you scale it to 8 gigabytes, what happens?
If I scale it to 8 gigabytes, it's just 8 times 8, which is 64, right? 64 watts.
Mm-hmm. I see. Which is,
For dynamic power, that doesn't sound right? Because, I mean, if you scale it to 8 gigabytes, are you able to scale the, you will still be using the same bandwidth.
That's true. I mean, my assumption is that, actually, I'm not, in the benchmark, I'm not even using 1 gigabyte. I'm just using 256 megabytes, right? But the spreadsheet reports the power consumption for one bank of 1 gigabit, right? Mm-hmm. And for 1 gigabit, it reports 1 watt of consumption. So what we're doing is scaling the energy.
Yeah, the only thing I'm saying is if you have a certain bandwidth for one rank of memory, and if you have multiple ranks, then you have to divide that bandwidth to all the ranks. And then your actual bandwidth would be much less, and so the power consumption would be less. Power consumption per rank would become less, and the aggregate power would, of course, be more, but per rank, you should have a lesser number.
I see.
Actually, the bandwidth is the bandwidth of the memory bus, right, which is a shared bus across all the ranks and all the bands.
No, so I'm talking of this application bandwidth. Assume that the application bandwidth stays at 716. And if you deploy more ranks of memory, then you should get static power should get doubled if you are doubling the number of ranks. But the dynamic power should not double because you're actually spreading the same workload on across more memory, I guess.
That's a good point. So I think that should be reflected in other numbers, such as what is the, I think there is a fraction of read percentage and write percentage that should probably gets distributed across all the ranks, right? Is that should that all isn't that already included in the calculation though in the spreadsheet?
I don't know. I mean, right now what we're doing is. We have the number of cycles in CPU cycles, right, spent on the benchmark, and then we calculate the number of reads and the number of writes, and then we have some bandwidth numbers. That, by the way, at this point, I don't know exactly what those bandwidth numbers should be, and that's one of my
right, so let's do the following. Let's look at the spreadsheet after we go over this, in preliminary discussion. We'll go into the spreadsheet a little bit, okay?
Okay.
So what are the other updates, Lewis? In terms of the, you're going to start getting the traces, or?
We already started. And at this point, I think we have a good amount of traces. I have almost all backup or benchmarks done. And yesterday, Ricardo was able to get the spec power benchmark for 20, 40, 60, 80, and 100% of load.
Okay. And okay. And does the power consumption there, I mean, when you see that, does it make sense again with your new traces, or that's yet to be done?
I just tried with the follow benchmark.
Okay.
I haven't tried with the other benchmarks.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so you're saying that most of the traces are now available, and so then I guess the next thing would be to run the simulator, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. And how much time does that take? It can that can take a while too.
Well, I think most of the time we will spend most of the time taking traces. I think the time running the real benchmark is not a big deal because it's just twice the amount of real time, right? So even though the traces take, I don't know, 1 hour or even 6 hours, probably the benchmark in real time is only 20 minutes, right? So replaying or you know, running the simulator is only double that, so it's 40 minutes, more or less.
I see.
So I think the running the simulator won't be a big deal. The problem is are the traces.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other thing is in terms of validation, have you communicated with any of the other guys who are working?
No, because I haven't seen them since going through building. So I mostly know about Jaime.
Okay.
And I think he, at this point, he hasn't had any breakthrough. So I don't think at this point he had any numbers. And I don't know about Andres. I haven't talked to him.
Okay.
But in terms of validation, at least now we have some. I mean, the numbers, the maximum bandwidth we find in QMO and the host are not very different. And also, the number of reads match what they should be, right? There is no crazy things happening. Yeah, so, and also the power makes much more sense than before.
Right. Yeah, but it's hard to claim that it's validated.
Basically. Yeah, I agree. I know that we need the other traces, but at least it seems, you know, for now it seems like everything indicates that we're in the good route.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, we can meet with Jaime later today and see where he is at. I've already sent him an email saying that we'll meet in the afternoon.
Okay.
And maybe he just needs to be guided a little bit, and he seems like he, you know, he's capable of doing what is necessary.
Okay.
He already
yeah.
did some research on his own.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, that's good. And what else?
Let me see. So, well, there are a couple of things I wanted to talk today. First, about the well. We already said about the what bandwidth are we going to use in the spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to talk about what traces are we using. Benchmarks are we using? The couple we have spec power, we have Rubies, and also Postmark. I also wanted to talk about the traces that Ricardo found. If that is I think Ricardo had some comments about that, and then let's see, and that's it. I think that's mostly. So I don't know. Let's. I think in terms of the benchmarks that we're using, I think we're fine. We're using the capo, which has like 10 different benchmarks.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have spec power, for which we already had some traces. And I think Ricardo next is going to work on Ruby. So I will focus on Postmark and what is remaining in the capo. So at this point, I think I can start doing some, I can start running the simulation, but we were short on machines. So it turns out that Sajib is going to lend us the his machine, you know, the black machine, which is exactly the same as the other one.
Okay.
So I'm going to borrow that to take the rest of my traces, and I'm going to use Trick, because it has a whole setup, to run the simulator.
Okay. Okay, I think that sounds good. About the traces, is there any additions or subtractions from the previous set of traces we used?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question. What?
Are the traces different than what we used before?
You mean the benchmarks?
Yeah, the benchmarks, sorry.
Well, it turns out that the capo changed the benchmarks. So in fact, they are different, yeah.
But the others? What about the others? They are the same?
The spec power, rubies, and so on. I guess those changes because...
No, I mean the descriptions of the benchmarks, do they remain the same or do we have to rewrite some of that stuff?
I think we need to rewrite, at least for the capo. We need to rewrite some of the things because you know that the capo is actually a benchmark suite. So they have like 10 different benchmarks, right?
Okay.
And they change most of them, actually. I only recognize like 4 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to rewrite those.
What are these benchmarks, the Decavo benchmarks, meant for?
They're usually for developer. There is developer, there is benchmarks. I remember a few of them. There was one for, I think, a static analysis of code. There was one for doing testing in Eclipse. What else do you remember more, Ricardo?
There is one called Tomcat, which I assume is just a web server. There are some benchmarks about XML transformation.
XML transformation, yeah.
Yeah, that's all I can remember right now.
Okay. Okay, so that seems like a fairly diverse set of benchmarks. Also includes enterprise. I was wondering if it were more like scientific computing benchmarks, but it seems not to be the case, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Because you would like scientific kind of benchmarks?
No, I would actually prefer to have more enterprise benchmarks. I mean, if we have scientific benchmarks, that's okay too. But scientific only benchmarks may be less interesting for most people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty much okay. About these other benchmarks, about these other traces we found, the reason I was pushing for using them is that those are Spec 2000, and I think Spec 2000 is like the standard benchmark for all this kind of work, so that's mainly the reason. I don't know what you think.
Right, so we could use them. We could use them. Do they have all the information we need?
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, we could get those too. I mean, so the spec SPEC 2000 is a CPU benchmark, right? Or they it's again a suite of benchmarks.
I think it's a suite of benchmarks. That's what Ricardo says.
SPEC 2000 or SPEC Power?
Yes. No, SPEC 2000.
Oh.
It's a suite of benchmarks.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So my concern, I think we talked about that a little bit yesterday, is that those traces are for all machines. Really old machines, Pentium 3, Pentium Pro, Pentium 2. So my concern was that the bandwidth used was very small, right?
Hmm.
So that means, in some sense, we're in advantage because the bandwidth could be so small that the SSD is practically the same than RAM, right?
Right, and also the footprints are... I guess the footprints
and also
we control.
The footprints are smaller, yeah.
But we always have a relative size of memory, right?
That's true, yeah, to address that problem, yes.
And obviously it will be the same with any machine, right?
Say that again?
The footprint will be the same. And for throughput, it's just a matter of scaling the frequency.
Mm.
I see. I don't know. Actually, that's why I bring it up, because I don't know if that's fine. Probably it's fine.
Right. So I would suggest the following. Let's work on the traces that we collected first.
Okay.
In term and simulate those first, and then go to the SPEC 2000.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
Okay, so... Okay, I have one question. I was thinking, do you think having a strong benchmark like SPEC 2000 would make any difference? That's basically the question.
I guess the question is if SPEC 2000 would make the paper stronger.
Well, having that in addition to what we already have, probably yes, but just SPEC 2000 and not have any of the stuff that we collected, probably no, because it seems like we have a more diverse set of benchmarks.
Okay. Okay.
But that's why I said that if we are able to carry out the evaluation with our set of benchmarks, which is also easier to justify to reader that we are replaying on the same machine that we are collecting traces from, right, or similar machine.
Actually, very good point, yeah, okay.
And I think that we also, by picking several benchmark suites, we cover a wide enough range of different behaviors.
Okay, yeah, I think that's fair enough, yes.
And I see your point that SPEC 2000 is perhaps an industry standard and maybe we can do some kind of frequency scaling to make the traces equivalent to what we would get on a newer machine. There are still some questions about that. I'm not completely convinced that it would be that straightforward, just scaling the frequency, right? Because
yep.
There is I/O involved and we cannot scale I/O in the same way that we scale memory. And so though there are some other questions that... that I have in my mind as we discuss the scaling. If we leave the traces as they are without any scaling, then there are other questions, right? That's why I said that maybe we can start with our traces and then, you know, once we get all of that done, then let's look at SPEC 2000 again.
Okay.
What is that SPEC 2000? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So in terms of the spec power, as I said, we were able to get 5 different loads. Also, you know, Ricardo, I was looking at the traces, and it turns out that for some reason, the 20% load, right,
Actually, I sent you a message and you said that you shouldn't use those yet.
Okay.
I found a problem with those. I'm getting them.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Because there was some weird stuff, like the 20% load trace was bigger than the 100% load trace.
Yeah, exactly. The problem is that I was running them for different amount of time, so I'm rerunning everything again.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
And the other thing is Rubis, right?
Yeah.
You are next type in Rubis. So the other thing is about Postmark. I think Ricardo was mentioning that. So the thing is that at some point I remember that we gave up on Postmark for some reason. Probably it didn't add too much to the paper, or I don't remember. But Ricardo was saying that probably that benchmark was good to show that there are some cases where the page cache was more important than the anonymous page. So I don't know, what do you think?
That's a good point. Yeah, we might see that behavior with Postmark. The issue though with, you know, there are a couple of issues. One, I think that in the last time there was some issue with Postmark hanging when we were collecting traces or something like that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Right, that's one. And the other is that with Postmark, since there is a lot of I.O., and we do not get the DMA information,
right,
that's another issue. But it may still be worthwhile pursuing it and just clarifying that we do not account for DMA accesses.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we have to state that in the implementation or trace collection description somewhere.
Okay. So,
DMA as well.
Ricardo, can you repeat, please?
Or do we get DMA access as well? I think Luis has that pretty much figured out, right?
No, I'm far from it.
Okay,
I think for that I need, you know, more time, and I think we don't have it.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So, so what else?
One thing I wanted to discuss is that, from the details I gave you earlier, we were subtracting the time that QEMU was doing conversion, virtual machine, virtual memory conversion to host virtual memory, right? So we subtract that time, but to that time we added a memory access latency,
mm-hmm,
right? Because, of course, there was a latency, there was an access there, but we are discounting that access. So we found in some web page that the access for LM Bench, I think, was 161 cycles, right? And that's exactly the number we're using, 161 cycles. And it seems like for follow that 161 works. So my question was that if that 161 will be fixed for all kind of benchmarks, or it will vary depending on the workload.
What is that time? It's the memory access time?
Yes.
Memory, is this through a page table memory access time or just physical memory access time?
Just physical memory access time.
So latency.
Yeah.
That should depend on the physical hardware, right?
Right. So, but
we got that number for the opener, specifically for the opener.
Yeah, but I think it was for the LM bench.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but what for a specific hour of the bus budget question.
Because for the optimum. But my question was that if that number can change or it's always fixed.
Well, what is the number defined as, right? And I think you're saying that the number is the physical memory access time.
Right.
It should be the same for all benchmarks.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something here.
I guess we assume that number for the random access that we have in photo. But my concern was that if that number was okay for the rest of the benchmarks.
I think for a workload that will tend to reuse most RAM nodes,
it would be lower.
It should be low. I don't know how much, but it would be low.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So what do we do then? We fix that number and...
I guess if you want to try the number, we could just follow in a sequential manner and use the same 161 cycles for latency
and see what happens.
And see what happens.
Okay.
If the gap is small, it means it's not that far from it.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a good test.
I guess there are some descriptions that need to be updated about the workloads. So Ricardo, can we count on you to do that?
Yes, okay.
I guess it's in the motivation section, right?
Yeah, so I already have a reminder for that because I couldn't finish all the descriptions.
Okay. So as you update those, please update to the latest version of all the benchmarks.
I can also revisit the QML description.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important. And...
Yep. I was thinking, I don't know if we have the time or if we need it, but to write a small document apart that we reference from this paper, talking about the changes we did in QM in more detail.
Well, yeah, because it's blind reviewing, I don't think we can do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
But it's good to have a document anyway. I mean, while it is fresh in your mind, to put it in a wiki page of some sort, the things that you did, so that we can then use it for the next paper whenever we do the next memory tracing paper.
Right. We were actually, Ricardo and I were hoping to submit for Ireland Clinical Conference in U6.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
I think there will be enough interest.
Yeah.
Especially if we make the tool open source.
Yes.
So that people can just use it and get memory traces for their systems, that would be quite useful.
Right.
Mm. So we can talk about that after Eurosys.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So let me see. So we have, so about the, I guess we don't have anything else, but the how to calculate the power, right?
Oh, yeah, let's go to the spreadsheet then.
Yeah.
Okay, which one should we look at, Lewis?
I don't have the spreadsheet here. I cannot open it because I don't have Windows here. But I remember the word sysconfig, the sysconfig tab.
Sorry? How do we access?
The spreadsheet is in the SVN.
Okay.
In the draft directory of the paper.
Okay.
In the data section. I think there is a directory called drum power estimation or something.
Okay.
So there is a spreadsheet. You can use the AXSHAT one, AXSHAT version.
Okay. So I'm opening that. So Akshat, can you access a copy of this too? Akshat, are you there?
Perhaps not.
Maybe. I think there is maybe something wrong with the mic. Okay. On its side. Let's see. Yeah, so he is there, but we cannot hear him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so maybe something with his mic.
Okay. Okay.
So what we could do is maybe Akshat can let me see if we can get everyone on chat. Okay, now.
Okay.
Oh yeah, now we can hear you, but it's fairly faint. Akshat, I mean it's. Let's see. Can you speak again?
Hello.
Yeah, I think it might work. But it's your the volume from your side is fairly low.
Okay. I've taken out my
phone. Okay, it's getting better now.
I have a few tokens, so Luis, you want to talk about it?
Sure. So, okay. So there are, I think there are probably five fields that we have to fill in order to get the numbers, right? So I remember the first one, that's at the bottom of the system config or sysconfig tab, right? Mm-hmm. So there, we have the number of CPU cycles for the whole benchmark, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, that, then we have the number of read operations that we have in memory and the number of write operations that we have in memory.
Right.
That's fine. Then we have two numbers, which is the read bandwidth and the write bandwidth.
It says maximum read bandwidth and maximum write bandwidth. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay.
And those numbers are used to calculate the number of cycles required for each read and required for each write.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that is important because with that number, you determine the percentage of time you were doing reads and the percentage of time you were doing writes.
Right, so here I have a question. So
sure.
The maximum read bandwidth and maximum write bandwidth are for the benchmark, correct?
Exactly, that was my point. I think so. And to me that's what it makes sense. But I think at some point we said that it was for the machine.
Yeah, I think it should be for the machine.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, number of reads divided by the maximum number of reads that you can do is used to get the read scheduling percentage or something like that. So essentially, the goal of all this is to figure out what percentage of time have you spent in reading and what percentage of time have you spent in writing. So for that, we need to have some machine parameters, and I guess maximum read bandwidth and maximum write bandwidth are those parameters.
Okay, so yeah, that makes sense. Because it says maximum, I would assume that it should be independent of the workload.
Okay, so I see.
Now, one more question I have here is, how do the reads and writes get split across the different banks of memory in this spreadsheet? I don't see that.
Yeah.
So do we, I mean, I know that we have this number of reads and number of writes. Do we divide the number of reads and number of writes by the number of banks and then input this in here? In the second and third entries?
No, I don't think so. What I'm doing is the input is the I'm just counting number of reads, counting number of writes independently of their location. Putting that there.
Right. So that, I think we have to get that clarified here. Because if you're using this for a single bank of memory, then the number of reads and writes to a single bank of memory would be lower than the number of reads and writes to all the banks, if there are more than one bank. Right?
Okay.
So we can assume perhaps that there is equal distribution of reads and writes across all the banks. Does that make sense or?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, that looks reasonable and that's probably what it is, but I guess we need to verify that. I mean, I'm pretty sure there was I just probably need to go into the instruction sheet again and take a closer look. I think that should be the right way to do it, but let's not decide it on the call.
So Akshat, I think you are perhaps the most informed about this. So maybe you can take a look at that again. I know you did the initial version of the spreadsheet, so it would be easier perhaps for you to clarify some of this stuff.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll try to send something by tomorrow.
Right, and in the meanwhile, Lewis, I guess you can, I don't know how to forward that information for the various benchmarks. If you can give the summary information to Akshat, then he can also use that information to validate any changes that he might suggest.
Okay, so what do you need from the traces?
I think the stuff at the bottom, right? Number of cycles, number of reads, number of writes.
Okay, I can get that, yeah.
And
sure.
Well, the maximum
okay.
Read and write bandwidth for the machine, I guess.
Right, so that was my other question, how to calculate that, because in the case of of follow, we got 88 megabytes per second in the real machine average, right?
Now, well, I think that's because it was random.
Yeah, that's a point.
I think we'll have to do it for a sequential. I don't know if that's the right way to do it or not, but I mean, sequential would give us a higher memory bandwidth. And since we are looking for a maximum bandwidth, we should probably use that value.
Yeah, so Ricardo, you were trying some options of follow for getting the max bandwidth at some point in time. So you should have something ready, right?
Yeah, I mean, we could use follow in a sequential fashion.
Yeah, I mean, I do remember this conversation that you discovered that you, in order to get the maximum bandwidth, you need to touch the last byte in the cache line or something like that. So, and guess you had one version of follow which did that, or which did whatever was required to get the maximum bandwidth.
Yeah, it is possible to do that with follow.
Okay. So one thing about follow is that if we do the sequential access, then we could have prefetching in the cache, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but still the only thing we don't, I mean, we are required is that there is no reuse of cache, and that's fine.
Yep. So we just need a large enough vector
information. I see. I mean, we can use the cache, but we cannot reuse the cache.
Exactly.
Okay, okay. Got it. Okay.
So what else? So that information you can get, I'm assuming. The maximum,
yeah.
So when you send to Akshat, give all the all these five, and is there anything else that is necessary? Oh, the hit rate and stuff like that? I mean...
Yeah, I think.
I already calculated all that information because of this proof of concept that I did, right, to check that the numbers were more or less correct. So, yeah, so I can send all that information. I think it was number of cycles, number of reads, number of writes, and bandwidth, right? That's
Page
hit rate, yes.
And the maximum bandwidth of the machine, not for the, so that should be the same for all the workload.
Yeah, I will calculate that maximum bandwidth with follow.
Okay, that's good. So we can then start getting some numbers at least for the traces that we already have.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to, I guess, compare against with the traces we get with the simulators, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So what else is pending? I know we need to work on that related work section, but that should be fairly straightforward, I'm hoping. And more importantly, I think maybe in the last for now I don't want us to worry too much about the space, but maybe in the last 3 or 4 days we have to do a drastic compression effort.
Yeah, I think so.
That's 12 pages actually now.
How many pages do we have in Euroseas?
12 pages for this submission.
Whoa, that's not too much. That does that include the references?
Everything.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, so the earlier we have a complete draft, the earlier we can get started on the compression, because that will probably take a while. I mean, if you want to do it well, it will take a few days.
Okay.
Hey, look, before we forget, I think we need an abstract for...
Yeah, that's what I was saying about.
Okay.
We need an abstract for this Sunday.
Okay, so let's go ahead and submit the abstract. Lewis, can you just send the abstract over email? Maybe we can make a few changes over email and then you can submit it.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. I think we have an abstract right now. We can just update it and submit it, and then we can update it later also, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, what else?
I think that's it. The only thing missing is L2 cache means trace.
Yeah, with the validation.
The validation.
Yeah, so we'll hopefully, we'll have something to say in that respect before the deadline. So when do we meet next on, next Monday?
Yeah, we can meet next Monday.
Hold on, let me check.
I think you mentioned that you had something this Monday, but next Monday you didn't.
Give me 1 second, please.
Sure.
Yeah, next Monday works. So should we use the same time, 10 a.m.? Does that work for everyone?
Yep.
Works for me.
And so before we meet, we have to make sure that we submit the abstract, because the abstract deadline is... Okay.
I'll do that today.
Okay, let's do that today then. Okay, anything else?
No, for from my side.
Nothing from my side.
Okay, so let's work on the spreadsheets, and we'll also work on the paper writing. Ricardo, I guess you can write up the descriptions and I'll get started on the related work. I think we are doing okay in terms of time. It's still tight, but at least the progress is good. So that's encouraging.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll meet on Monday then.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye.